Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Joy and Peace Outreach Ministry, where your host is Minister Sadie Elliott. I am so glad you have stopped by this line today, because we have an exciting and a wonderful topic today. We're going to be talking about salvation, and everybody needs that salvation. Before we start off, I'll say a few minutes of prayer. Oh, gracious Father, we come this morning just to say thank you. Lord, you've been so good and so kind to us, better than we have been to ourselves. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for this opportunity, dear Heavenly Father, to be able to share the Word of God with each and every person that tune into the Blog Talk Show today or later today. Dear Heavenly Father, give us the words to say, not ourselves, but dear Heavenly Father, you speak through the vessels that will come up on this line today, dear Heavenly Father. You anoint us, dear Heavenly Father, anoint your line, dear Heavenly Father, this day, dear Heavenly Father. Give us strength, dear Heavenly Father. Give us the understanding and courage of your word, dear Heavenly Father, that we may dissect this word, dear Heavenly Father, and make it plain to those that's listening, dear Heavenly Father. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen and thank God. I want to thank everyone that has come to the line this morning, those that's listening in at the sound of my voice. In case you want to come in and say something on the topic today, this is the phone number, 646-716-4389. And on your keypad of your phone, when you get ready to talk, just hit number one, and I can tune you right in where you can share with everyone around the country. And we have a guest that's on already. Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. God bless you. I'm good. How are you?
I'm blessed, blessed. So glad that you came on today, that you can share with us on the topic of salvation. And before we get started, I'm just going to be truthful. I have Bibles galore all in front of me. Just been reading the Word of God and going for this topic today on salvation. That way, the person that's listening, hope you have a paper and pencil where you can write down these scriptures as I give it to you and my guests that have come on, that you will be able to go in your convenience and check the scriptures for yourself and read them. But today on salvation, you know, the Bible teaches that sin threatens us with broken relationships, spiritual death, and judgment. But God, through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, has provided a way to rescue us from sin's consequence. He's offered us salvation so that we can have a second chance at life, an opportunity to experience a spiritual rebirth into a new and an abundant life of the Spirit, and ultimately eternal life with Him forever. So today we are going to be talking about salvation. And our first thing is, what does it mean to be saved? And that first topic, what does it mean to be saved? I have scripture that I will give you from Romans, the 4:4-8, and it's saying, the Bible that I have before me, this is what it reads. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believe on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describes the blessings of the man unto whom God impute righteousness without works, saying, blessed are those, are they, whose iniquity are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And here, when you know, you can break it down, but for time's sake, you know, I'm having what joy for those whose sin is no longer counted against them by the Lord. Did you hear that? For your sins is no longer counted against them by the Lord. People are keep bringing up your sins or keep bringing up your past, but God won't do that. And in Romans 3:24, it says, I'm going to read that for you from the Word of God. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You know, yet not God in his gracious and kindness declared us not guilty. People find you guilty, but God said not guilty. Being saved means no longer having our sins counted against us, but rather being forgiven by the grace of God. Carla, you want to go ahead and say a little bit on that for me? I see someone else have tuned in, that's called in.
Amen. You know, I believe people really just need to be mindful, you know, of the scriptures and be mindful of salvation and what it means to us. It means that, you know, we don't have to worry about paying the debt that no longer is owed because it's already been paid.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Yes, yes. That is so true. We have another caller. I'm going to see what they're saying. Ah, hold on. Good morning, caller. You are now on the air.
Good morning, women of God, to you, Pastor Elliot, and to Pastor Variance. It's a wonderful day in the neighborhood. The Lord is blessing us. He woke us up this morning in our right minds and saved from our sins. That's one of our, there was a missionary some years ago, and her testimony was that her salvation was her most precious possession.
Ah. Yes.
And that's what it is, because as Pastor Verin just said, I'm saved and from the curse of death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
The death of not just dying from the flesh, but dying eternally. Nobody's mad about that but the devil, because he knows that his death is already, the death warrant has already been signed, sealed, and issued. And we, the people, we that are in this body, we still have a chance that we don't have to die the same death that the devil and his angels have. And that's what Jesus came for. God so loved Stephen Amaker. Before Stephen Amaker was even born, before Stephen Amaker's grandmother made his grandfather, he sent his son that I might be saved, that I might have a right to the tree of life. And I'm so glad about salvation. And I just want to conclude by saying that our salvation is a sure, we should be sure about that. So many times I've been to so many funerals, and they say, okay, now, if this be you, would you, make the choice of whether where you would want to spend eternity, whether in heaven or hell? And so at most funerals, that's a tearjerker by itself. So, you know, I've seen crowds of people come up. And oh, yeah, okay. So now if you was to die today, and if this was you laying in this box, where would you spend eternity? In heaven? And everybody, yeah, I want to go to heaven. So then they come up, and they say what they call the sinner's prayer. That don't go nowhere. But, you know, okay, you saved. You got your ticket to heaven. And now go back out and go back to the life that you was living.
Mm-hmm.
That's a deception. It's a strong delusion, because that's just the beginning. You coming up acknowledging Jesus as your personal Savior. That now your life got to change. And this is the dilemma that people, well, the preacher just told me all I had to do was come up and say these words, and I got my ticket to heaven. So, yeah, I can go back. And true, they can, because you didn't tell them that they got to come out their sins now, that they got to stop doing what they're doing. And more people would really be saved and understand what salvation is if the whole process was explained a lot better. God bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. And as both of you all say, that is so true. Being saved means our sins have been completely removed. And being saved means the stain of guilt has been washed away. And being saved means we are forgiven in Christ. And you know, I was thinking as I was reading for this particular topic for today, when people say they are saved and their life don't line up mm-hmm. what they say.
Come on.
And I have a problem with that.
Me too.
I don't know if I'm the only one, but if you're confessing to be this, but you're doing everything else undercurrent, and people start looking at you and say, well, wait a minute, I thought she or he was a man and a woman of God, but I don't see no fruits,
mm-hmm.
no attributes. But you mm-hmm. say, and you want to pray the house down, you want to prophesy the house down, you want to say you're healing and you're speaking in tongues, but your life is not lining up with what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Now you're going all the way in with this.
I thought we were just
going to stay with salvation. You're going all the way in. Because if you are standing in your garage, that don't make you a car.
Ah.
If you standing in your garage, you got a 2 or 3 car, whatever, 1 car garage, you standing in that car don't make you a garage, don't make you a car. What I'm saying is because you go to church, don't say that you are saint of God. And this is what the strong delusion. Oh, what did you do? I went to church. You don't live the life, but I went to church. I go to church. You got some people, come rain, snow, high water, hell, high water. They going to church on Sunday. They like you said, they live like the devil Monday through Sunday night through Saturday, but Sunday morning, getting up, hangover and everything, getting up out of that bed with that man that's not my husband, getting up
all right.
out with that woman who's not my wife, but I'm going to church. I'm
mm-hmm.
going to church, and this is a strong delusion because it's not just going to church. It's your life. And like you say, even with people speaking in some unknown tongue and proper
mm-hmm.
lying to people who don't have the discernment, the spirit of discernment to know this person is proper lying to you, then, yeah, well, if they, who the fool, Pastor Elliot, if I can get away with it or whether or not you can do it.
There you go. That is so true. And, you know, we have to be sure without a shadow of doubt of our salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ah. I knew when I hit on this topic, I wanted people to call in so we could
mm-hmm.
really touch on this. Go ahead, Pastor Averance.
Okay. You know, I believe that people really need to be careful with saying, you know, anything about being a Christian, being saved, being delivered. You know, just be careful because,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Bible tells us, if any man name the name of God, let him pass this time for joining in fear. Because if you really know God, then you know that he, you know, as I don't know if you guys have ever watched this show, but I'm probably sure that you have, in Living Color, there was a guy on there called Homie, Tommy the Clown, and he used to hit children on top of the head, you know, with his little sock thing and say, Homie, don't play that. And God don't play that. So if we really fear God like we say we do, we don't know what that means. To really fear God, because when you really fear him, that would stop you from doing and saying a lot of stuff that people just out there just doing things and just saying things. But, you know, if you ask them, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, you know, my Lord and Savior is Jesus Christ. Well, if that was the case, then your lifestyle would reflect this honor that you claim you live. And
mm-hmm.
when it doesn't add up, it's because then you got to really go back and take, like I said all the time, inventory. Take inventory on yourself. See how many times you lie. You know, see how many times, you know, you manipulate people or look at the things that you do and then go in the Bible and see if you line up with that. Does Jesus lie? Did God lie? You know, does Jesus fornicate? Did God fornicate? I mean, go and line up with them and see if you really are in the faith. see if you be in the faith. You know, it's a sad thing when you are in denial, but a part of denial is doubt and unbelief and deception. So when you mix all of those things in the pot, you come out with an unsaved person who does not know who they are. Mm-hmm. You don't know who you are. And like I said before, we're not talking about lesbians and homosexuals, although they have an identity crisis as well, but we're talking about the Christian identity crisis. You do not know who you are. You do not know that you are not a child of God. You do not know that your lifestyle is not what you proclaim and what you profess. You do not know that you don't have a relationship with Jesus. And let me say this clearly. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, Jesus said no man can come to the Father except by me. So yes, get that first and foremost clear. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have God. I'm sorry for you. If you don't have him, you don't have God, because Jesus was the only way we could get to God. He's the only way. He said, if any man climb up and get here any other way, that man is a thief.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have Jesus, you definitely don't have God. And if you don't have Jesus, you definitely don't have the Holy Spirit. You may have some gifts. You may have some talents, but you do not have the Holy Spirit. You don't have him, because in order to have him, you got to have Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So understand that if you don't have Jesus, you don't have God, you don't have a relationship, you don't have salvation.
Hmm.
All of that goes hand in hand. If you don't have those things, you are not saved.
Hmm.
You are only fooling yourself and also allowing the devil to fool you, because he'll tell you all types of stupid stuff. Well, you got to do this, you do that. You ain't got to say that, you say that. I mean, he'll tell you all types of stupid stuff to get you to go to hell. You will.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sitting up in there thinking that you're saved, believing that you're going to heaven, believing that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, believing that you're going to be in the New Jerusalem, and Jesus is going to say to you on that day, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I know you not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she didn't, Pastor says, she didn't mess me up. you, come on now. You know. You know there's more to this than that. But some people, they know, but they don't want to accept it because, well, if this is all they told me, my song that I love and the Lord has given me this song just a few months ago, and the word says, nobody's fault but mine. If I die and my soul be lost, it's nobody's fault but mine. And God said, well, wait a minute. And so then kind of just skipping quickly, and I'm going to get out the way so that you can go ahead and minister some more. But, you know, people, you know, they, you know you're not saved, and you know you're not living. So the question is, are we all God's children? That's what I heard Pastor Varian say. Are we all, no. That's a lie. We're all God's children. No, you're not. No, you're not. Because Jesus said, if you love me and you're my disciples or you're my children, you do what I tell you to do. You
all
live
right.
Like you live. But so then evidently we're not all God's children because everybody's not doing the will and living according to the word of God. Bless you, woman of God.
All right. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Oh, Jesus, I thank God today. Oh, Jesus, because, you know, I said, okay, God, is this what you want me to speak on? And as I was listening to both of you all and had been reading the word of God, many of us have heard the phrase born again,
mm-hmm.
referring to the process of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine what Jesus' words must have sounded like to Nicodemus. He had always assumed that the way to God's kingdom was through strict adherence to the numerous complex code of the Jewish law.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus
mm-hmm.
told him that all he had to do was to be born again.
That's it.
Who
That's
has
it.
Ever heard of such a thing? Yet, the analogy is profound. A physical birth takes place in blood, pain, unparalleled joy. In
mm-hmm.
spiritual birth, the blood is the blood of Christ. The pain
mm-hmm.
is the confession of sin, and the joy is the assurance of eternal life. You know, and as a doctor was saved, you know, after delivering a baby or whatever, every single one is a miracle. God is waiting to bring forth a miraculous spiritual birth in each of us. And, you know, when you think about it, have you ever considered what it means to be born all over again?
Come on.
Oh, Jesus.
Come on. And they haven't. They haven't, Pastor Elliot. They have not considered what that means. If I say that I'm born, what does it mean to be born? When you're born, you come into this world knowing nothing. I mean, yes, you have everything that God has put on the inside of you, but you cannot articulate those things. Yes, you're born with a personality and a temperament. You have those, but you see children who already know whether they like you or not as babies.
Mm-hmm.
So that's inherent. Those are natural characteristics. That's not, you know, just something that you have. That's something that's already, you know, been born inside of you. So when you really think about it, to be born again means you don't know anything.
Ah.
You don't know anything. A baby does not know his or her name. A baby does not know his or her mother or father. Only from the warmth, of course, it knows the mother only because the mother carried her or him around. That's the only reason the baby knows the mother. Because if it were for that reason, you don't know your mother or your father either. So when you think about it, when it comes to being born again, that means you got to learn everything like you did when you was first born.
No. Since you done really opened that big can up. Because the baby doesn't even know the mother, but by the sense of smell.
That's it.
Come on. So now, watch this. We should be so close to God that we should know him by our sense of smell. And when people come, my granddaughter, my youngest granddaughter, when she come over, and she'd play all day, all night. But when it was time for her to go to sleep, she would sit up and cry till the wee hours of the morning. And we had to call her mother. Why? Because she did not smell her mother, so she could not rest without that smell of her mother. I'm surprised Pastor Calvin haven't called in yet, but he'll be in a minute. Another powerful man of God, Pastor Sadie.
Yeah, somebody's on the line now. I'm going to tune them in and see who it is. Hold on. Good morning, caller. You are now on the air.
Good morning. This is Pastor Calvin.
Good morning, Pastor Calvin.
To all the men and women of God, Pastor Hamilton, my brother, I'm listening to this word, and one of the things that God keeps driving in my spirit is throughout the Bible, the great men and women of God, when they found themselves in a dark place, how did they know they were being saved? How did they know that God was going to work this thing out for them? And we talk about the children. There was an internal voice within all of us. The child in all of us heard the voice of God. I think about Elijah when he was running for his life, and God took him on a little journey by himself, but he gave him everything he needed. He gave him everything he wanted at that point in time. And Elijah said, I'm fed up. I've done everything you wanted me to do. Now they're trying to kill me. And God reminded him. He said, it's not even through the fire. It's not even through the storm, it's not even through the earthquake, but when he heard God's voice, he got up and was saved. He knew it automatically, and that's one thing we've got to really get back to is understanding the essence of God's voice as his children, because there's a deeper revelation that comes from understanding his voice. There's a deeper revelation that comes when what you say, somebody's spirit is attuned with that voice that comes through you. There's something to be said about understanding as a child. You know that your resources and you know that your wisdom and knowledge comes from your father. There's something to be said about being at a point in your life where you're humble to understand that there's nothing that will happen until you can hear his voice, until you can understand his voice. And so as we talk about being saved, one of the things I keep thinking about all the time is how do the world know or the people who aren't in church know that they can be saved? It's by the voice that speaks to that spirit, speaks to that child that's lost behind the muck and mire of life, behind the indiscretions, behind the fornication, behind the stealing and killing, behind all those things that they naturally become accustomed to, how then will they hear that voice, that still voice that speaks to the very quiet part that needs life? And we think about a child in the mother's womb. The child is attached to the mother through the umbilical cord, which gives a source, of food, which gives its blood flow, which gives it everything that it needs to sustain itself in the womb. Now, the reality of it is, and the Bible said, you can't go back into your mother's womb. But if you're born again, you'll know who I am. And if you think about it from that perspective, everybody walking the face of this earth has to understand that being saved really is an indication of being seen by him himself. You've seen God yourself. You've heard his voice, felt his touch, and you know that embrace. We cradle children all the time to put them to sleep. And at some point in time, after all the crying, we've all done it, the baby falls asleep. And that's what God is trying to do right now, bring us to the place where he can cradle us in the hollows of his hand, love on us, build us up, but give us the wisdom and knowledge that Solomon asked for when God talked to him and asked him what he wanted. Give us the wisdom and knowledge to grow spiritually, because we ain't going to grow no more naturally. It's just not going to happen. So I just, you know, I thank God for this word, because even at the place that I'm at, this is resonating in all that God is doing through me, that you can save anybody by saying, hey, just raise your right hand. And that's what's happening in the church. But the reality of it is will you touch their spirit? Will you touch the heart, the very essence or the seat and thought of their emotions? Will you be able to do that? Will you allow God to work through you even in your own uncertainty about being saved sometimes? Will you allow God to work through that to bring you to the point where, guess what? I know I'm saved, but guess what? I know I'm saved because the fruit of me being saved is that God is using me to save so many other folks.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Calvin. Ah, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, thank God, because I was saying, God, I'm going to bring this topic, but work, have people that come on that will work with me with it so people will understand what we are saying, what we are trying to get over to them. And as I had finished that, you know, what it meant to be saved, how can I be saved? Huh? How can I be saved?
Pastor Elliot, that was the difficulty that Nicodemus had.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to evaluate a spiritual procedure out of a natural state, and it wouldn't work. He said, I can't go in my mother's womb. I'm grown. I'm a grown man. How can I go back into my mother? And Jesus is like, no, man, this is not what I'm talking about. You're trying to do a natural thing. And I'm telling you, salvation is being born of the water, born of the spirit, born unto God. And that's what people are doing. This morning, the Lord was showing me, giving me a message, Pastor Calvin, this morning.
Yes, sir.
And in the message, he was showing me, he says, I want you to get two people, and one is to be the saint of God on his knees praying and being before God, and the other person is the man and woman of God that is so busy doing church work that you're not doing church work. Preaching, prophesying, going all over the place, just doing things. And then he said, now have them to look at the man on his knees. Now, who is doing the greater work? Is it the man going all over the place preaching and not his building up his spiritual man? Or is it the man that's always on his face, or not always, but spends a lot of his time on his face before God?
Amen.
And see, people think we can work. They can work their way in. Myself, we're not saved by works. The Bible says we're not saved. We're saved by the life, and like Pastor Calvin said, by the voice and yielding ourselves to the voice of God.
Yes, yes. That's Lord. Thank you. Yes.
Well, you know, we can go a little further than that.
Mm-hmm.
What is number one? what's the purpose of your salvation? And number two, if God is now your father, how do you know your father? You learned your mother and your father by spending time with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
the only way you knew your mother and your father, because for that matter, your uncle could have been your father. Your auntie mm-hmm. could have been your mother. Your grandma mm-hmm. or your granddaddy could have been your mother or your father. You don't know. How do you know? You know because you spend time with them. There's a certain touch. There's a certain kiss. There's a certain embrace that a mother and a father gives their children. Because an auntie and an uncle may love you, but they don't give you that same nurturing and love like a mother mm-hmm. or a father would. So if we
Amen.
Know our father, then we really need to know the purpose of salvation. Why did he save us? What was the purpose
mm-hmm.
of that? Just for us to get in the body and sit down and look good and have nice houses and cars and nice bodies and all this other mess that we run around doing. It's not that you can't have all these things now, but you don't live life for these things, and these are not the reason that you became saved. For that matter, he could have left us all in sin and let us die and go to hell. So why were you actually saved? You weren't saved so you can get up there and teach and preach, although that may be a calling. But that was not the nature nor the purpose of you being saved. You were saved because the Father loved his children so very much that he would not allow us to die the way we were. He loved us so much to see how sick in the brain we were and sick in the heart that he would give us his only child to die for us.
Mm-hmm.
Who didn't even deserve it. But when you get down to the real purpose and the nature of you being saved, and then knowing your father, you got to get to know your father. What type of things does your father like? You know, what is his voice like? How can you know your father if you don't learn about him?
That's right.
We spend so much time learning about the celebrities and if they have babies and if their favorite color is red or blue and ooh, Ty Tribbett, ooh, you're going to have him, ooh, what about Jesus? What about your father? Yeah, it's great to know these people. And to see that gift, but what about your father? Do you know your father?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like what Psalms 106, I think around the 8th verse, it says, nevertheless he saved them for his name's that he might make his mighty power known. One of the one things is all of us that are in the Word, that are being used by God to teach the Word, we understand from our personal relationship with God how he saved us. It wasn't because we were the greatest person walking the face of the earth. It wasn't because we knew how to get everything right. He was doing it for his name's sake. And he's even in this day and time, he said, everything I've said to you before, you don't have to wait for it any longer. I'm doing this for my name's sake. And you got to realize that at the end of the day, there's no other name but Jesus. You know, and most people that, today, I think, in this day and time, we're not conveying that message in a more realistic, more applicable way, because the reality of it is Jesus came in the form of man, and he was the most humble person walking the face of the earth, but he had all power in his hands. He could do anything he wanted to do, but what he had the ability to do was he was proof to the situation. He was surrounded by thieves and hoodlums. He was surrounded by folks that didn't get it right. He was surrounded by all the folks that, and for whatever reason, this day and time, the church seemed to shun on them. The reality of that was that he was showing them and he was showing us that his saving grace, his blood was covering a multitude of sins. His dying on the cross was not in vain. His dying on the cross was so that we may now can speak this truth to a dying world. At the same time, if it's just taking one person and ministering to them for a year, that be your ministry. You know what I mean? Let it be your ministry, so you can then begin to see how God has reborn them, but then grown them spiritually. Because then you begin to see your reward. You begin to see that your labor wasn't in vain. You begin to see how the true essence of God really has worked through you as an instrument, even though you've been suffering great for his name.
Can I be transparent for a minute, please?
Yes, sir.
And this is my name is Stephen Amaker, and I approve this message. I got one son, and I'm gonna tell you the truth. I couldn't do what God did. I would not be able to let my son die for people who don't even know me, don't even want to know me, don't love me. I don't have that kind of love. And that's the only kind of love that God has, that he will give, like Pastor Vernon said, his only, only. I mean, to the point that you sit there and you see your son killed the most horrific death that anybody can die. God didn't just let him get hit by a bus, but he allowed him to get on that cross. And the Mississippi Mass Choir sang a song some time ago, says it was love that kept him on that cross. Mm-hmm. And he even said, Father, if it's any way possible, please. My flesh don't want to go through this. But so I'm saying, Stephen Amaker in the flesh, no, 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 no. I got one son. I love my son. But my God, look at what God did, his love for people. And he knew that some of these people that his son was dying for would never, never want to know. I don't believe in no God. I don't want to hear nothing about no Jesus. I'm a Buddhist. I'm a Muslim. I'm a Hare Krishna. I'm this, I'm that. But yet, he sent his son for the world. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I wouldn't. I couldn't. I couldn't, and I don't think I would. I'm almost sure I wouldn't. No, we got to find another way than this. And I'm just talking about the great extent of God's love for us. We put ourselves in his position and see how, and that's what I'm doing. I'm not trying to say that I'm calling myself God, but I'm just trying to think of his mind. And we know his ways is past finding out. But look at the reality of what he did. He allowed his son to be crucified.
Yes.
Which was one of the worst forms of not just willful death, but, submitting yourself. And Jesus even then said, I could call 10,000 legions of angels and come rescue me if I wanted to. I couldn't have done that.
A lot to think. That's what I tell people. It's a lot to think about. Put yourself in that place. And just like you said, Pastor Amaker, you have a son or daughter or son, and they want to take their life. It's going to be you or them. Would you have it in your heart to let somebody just kill your child? Give up your child like that. And, people have to really think seriously about when we read the Word of God and what God went through for us. And they say, well, I could, no. Sit down and think a while. No, you couldn't have, you said that out the top of your, clip out of your lip before you thought about it. But if you were really had thought about it, like you were saying just a while ago, you know it in the flesh is no way possible. You would just give up your son like that in the flesh. We have another caller on the air, and if she would like to come in, just press 1 on your phone pad, and we'll bring you in. It may be something you want to say to us on the show, because we'd be more than happy to hear from you. And I can pull you in, but I want to make sure you want to talk or you just want to listen. She want to talk. Praise the Lord. Hold on, Pastor Calvin, Pastor Amaker. Hold on. Okay. Good morning. Good morning. You are now on the air.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am. We hear you.
Okay. This is Tanya from Tulsa. This has really been a blessing the little while I've been on. I mean, everything we need, we receive it by faith through salvation. And I just want to give you a quick scripture real quick. Ephesians 2 and verse 8, telling about how we are saved. For by grace you have been, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and then not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So in other words, we are saved by faith through grace. I mean, that is a gift of God. You know, works cannot save us. I mean, God gave us his love when he went to the cross and everything for us. I mean, and even with even through salvation, we have everything for what we need through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God. And then even as being saved through salvation, through salvation, we are able to receive our healing, our deliverance, everything for what we need from God. We are good by faith through Jesus Christ. And when he went to the cross, he gave us everything for me. Even Father God, he gave us his best. I mean, he gave us John 3:16 say, "For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son." Mm-hmm. The whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting. Whatever we need, we can receive and obtain it through grace, through Jesus Christ. And then not only that, even how the Bible said, how we are saved through faith. We are not saved of our works. You know what I'm saying? Works cannot save us.
That's right.
Everything that we receive from the Spirit of God, it is by faith, and it's also by Christ's love for us. Even think about even for his love, he gave us his only. He gave us everything for what he had, his only begotten Son.
Right.
He was the only person. He was the only person who was able to die for us because he didn't have any sin often his life.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Even how the Bible say, for we all have sinned to come short of thee. You know what I'm saying? But even with that, his blood on the cross, it saved us. His blood on the cross, it healed us. His blood on the cross, he had delivered us. And then not only delivered us, he set us free because of the anointing. Because he said that the anointing that it will destroy every yoke.
Yes.
Everything what he went through, he had to go through it for a purpose. You know what I'm saying? I mean, everything for what he went through, he went through for a purpose. He was obedient to his Father.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then how the Bible said that if we're willing and obedient, then we should eat the good of the land. It's time for the body of Christ even to be blessed in every area of our life. Even with that, how we are blessed through salvation, how we are blessed through his love for us, and because he gave us his best, which is his Son, Jesus Christ. I mean, he cannot give us anything more than that, but he gave us his best. And then not only that, how we have the Holy Spirit as a gift for every believer who wants to receive it also, too. And even with those two, how they come in hand both together. How we need the power of God also.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen. Amen.
So may I ask, well, the young lady is saying that Jesus did everything. All we got to do is receive it and just live with it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I mean, the major stuff Jesus did. He did everything. He shed. The sacrifice couldn't be made unless it was bloodshed, and he did that so that we don't have to shed blood for our salvation. So really, all you need to do is just receive what God did for us.
Mm-hmm.
And that was to send his Son that we might have everlasting life. So what's so hard about that? You don't have to do nothing because he did all. Jesus paid it all.
Yes.
The song used to say, all to him I owe. Sin has left his stain.
Left a crimson.
You know. Yes.
Jesus. Yes.
You ain't got to do nothing but receive.
Mm-hmm.
Receive and live. That's it. Believe, so you believe, so you receive. Now live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Live, not just here, but eternally. Live in the newness of you. And like I said before, you're trying to work it. People are trying to work it. I've watched people, like as Pastor Barnes was saying about celebrities, you see these people come on, and the Holy Ghost, he deals with me strong about that. He said, because see, you see how many years that guy been on TV? And you see how many people, long that those people been singing right there? And you see it? And so people, they say, well, I sing the word. So God, look at this and merit this to my salvation. But then when you look behind TV, when they're not on TV, or when they're not on these stations, they're living another life contrary to what they're singing about.
Ah, that's what I was saying when we started off. That's just what I'm saying. season. Where is the fruit? Where is the Jesus?
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. You got homosexuals. Go ahead, sister.
I mean, even if being as a Christian, we should have to tell somebody we say. I mean, we should just live holy before God. I mean, I should have to tell somebody I'm saying. I mean, the person should know a Christian by the fruit. Of, you know what I'm saying? How we carry ourselves every day. I should not put no sign off my chest every day telling people I'm holy. I should just live the way He told me to live, and living the way He told me to live is by His word.
Mm-hmm.
John 14:6 says, Jesus said, "For I am the way." True running land, nothing come unto the Father except through me. So everything how we get from God is through Christ Jesus.
Yes.
He is the way. He left us His way, and His way is His word. Even how Pastor Byron said it earlier, how we have to have a high fellowship, commune, spend time with God on a daily basis. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The only way how we get to know God is spending time off of His word. You know, God's not with us on the, He's not with us physically, but He's with us spiritually. You know what I'm saying? And even with that we're going to know Him by spending time off on His word. That's why Timothy 2:15 say to study, to show thyself approved unto God. I welcome the number saying, but how you said, rather the Father of the truth. So even with that, I got to spend time in God. I have to spend time in His word for myself. You know what I'm saying? I cannot wait until on Sunday morning and wait till the preacher give me somewhere. But now I got to fellowship and commune with God off on a daily basis.
Amen.
Yeah, I think sometimes we miss out on a very, very intimate point with God, and His intimacy is what really saves us. And intimacy, if you just break it down, says into me, see? And if we're really into Him, find out that saving grace. We'll find out what it means to live holy. In other words, He set us apart to do a great thing, but the humility that comes from embracing that will break you down to the point of understanding that you are saved by grace. And if that was the case for you, guess what? This dying world needs the same thing. You know what I mean? And so I often say, in this day and time, we can't market Jesus we can come and jump and shout and pray on Sunday or Thursday or whenever Bible study is held in the four walls. We've got to be able to walk out in this world that we live in and begin to really pull and touch the souls of those who are crying, who have been living in a world that have masked the hurt and the disappointment, masked the false identity, that have masked through social networks, through church, through work, through education, that have masked the very essence of who God really is in them, and now they're struggling to try and figure it out. I think about the whole recession thing, and if anybody ever really knew what recession really meant, they would really begin to shout, because recession is a down business trend, but the reality of it is, recession means to bring back a gathering together. And so if you really understood what that recession, that whole cycle of the recession that this country's been going through, it is a bringing back together for the sake of God. That's what recession really means. And so when you begin to think about that, you begin to think about your role as a man and woman of God, how you do on a day-to-day basis, how God uses you to bring people back together in unity. I think about Nehemiah. He had to bring back people broke, separated, to bring back and build up something that was the true essence of God, that was rebuilding the walls. And so that's time we're in now of having that intimacy in our secret place, because He says in His word, everything I do for you in your secret place, I'll reveal to your friends and your family. I'm going to reveal it to those people. You know, so we don't have to do a whole lot but spend some time with God. And when we walk out the doors of our house and goes into our businesses or go into our place of employment or place of education or just go into the store, watch how God's glory, He put it on you in a moment's notice. And that piece right there will humble you to the point to understand that being saved and being set free is the best thing you could ever have. It's the best thing in life. You may not have all the money, all the cars. You may not have anything that you really want or you think you really need, but when He shows His glory on you in a moment's notice, a total stranger is blessed by the words that come through you. Reward right there. Can't even put a price tag on it. You can't even begin to formulate it in words or even a thought in your mind how the glory was just on you in a moment's notice. You can't even fathom in words or even make a thought that will go in line with how God just set up in heaven in a moment's notice and said, guess what? I'm going to touch you, Pastor Calvin, right now at this moment so that somebody can hear this word and be blessed by it. I couldn't even fathom waking up this morning to understand the power that works in God. But I do know, because of my intimacy with God, how he saved me, how he saved the wretch like me, how I like the songs that Courtney Wilson says, all I need is a touch from you.
You can
just reach your hand down from heaven and pull me through. All I need is a touch from you. And sometimes that's just basically what the world is really looking for, is just a touch. And when God puts the power on you to touch somebody's life, my God, that's a shout and praise moment right there.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Oh, Jesus, I mean, this is good. I have another caller on. Caller, if you would like to call in and share something with us on salvation, just press the number one button on your dial, and I'll bring you right in. I don't know if you just want to listen or what, but, I mean, this is, yep, this caller want to talk. All right. Caller, you're now on the air. Yes, how are you doing?
I'm blessed. I'm getting in a little late, but you're on my mind, on my heart. I'm enjoying what I heard so far. I really don't have a comment. I just wanted to know that wanted you to know that I stopped by.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Minister Steve. Thank you so much, because God is good, and I'm glad because we have some powerhouses on this line today talking about salvation, and I sure do thank God. Because, I mean, God is just so good. And I'm always asking him, before I bring a show on, Lord, what do the people need? What should I talk about? And I just thank God when he direct me and I listen to the Holy Ghost. And as we were talking about salvation today, salvation is necessary. Because sin against the Holy God separate us from him. Bring judgment and spiritual death. And salvation through Christ is a dramatically foreshadowed through the Passover of the Lamb. And the salvation is not just no one else. There is no other name in all of heaven for people to call on to save them but Jesus. You know, but although they may sound exclusive, the Bible claim if anyone to salvation and action, the expression of the grace and kindness of God. You know, we are saved for a new life in Christ. Being saved means being free from the power of sin to live a new life. And everyone have told everyone that listening today about that new life in Christ Jesus. No, you can't go back into your mother's womb, but God, oh, Lord, he can create you and give you a new life in him. He'll bring you from out the old life, from all the old things you do that have passed away, and give you a new life, a new way of thinking, a new way of doing everything for Christ Jesus. And, you know,
understand what it means, though. What does salvation really mean to you? Is it special to you? Do you appreciate it? You know, is it something that you believe is a gift? Because it is a gift, but do you believe it's a gift? You know, do you believe that it's important to you? Because if it was really important, you know, the same way if we have a husband, a wife, or girlfriend, a boyfriend, you know, you do anything for them, right? Whatever they want, you kiss the ground they walk on, you fix their bath water, you make their food, you make your bed done, the house clean, you in your lingerie when you get home. But what will you really do for God? That's what salvation really means.
That's right.
Really do for him?
Do for God.
Because of all that he's done for you.
Yes. That is so true. That is so true.
Let me close by saying, don't leave this planet without it. Like they say, don't leave home without your American Express card. Don't leave this planet. Don't leave this planet without being saved. If you're not saved, you could die anytime, any day, no matter what. No matter how good you feel, there's good feeling folk dropping dead. There's people walking out their door getting hit by buses. There's car accidents every day. Today alone, all over this world, at least 500 people going to die.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
At least 500 people going to die today throughout the world. And out of those 500, who is going to be? We don't know. But don't you leave this planet without your insurance paid up.
Yeah.
What is your insurance that you save? Because once your spirit leave this body, you are wherever you're going. You're going to be there just in a twinkling of an eye. Bam, hey, where am I at? What's that smell? Oh, my God, this is the gates of hell. Hell, I can't get me out of here. No, there's no exits.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
That is so true. That is so true.
Oh, today, God.
Thank you, Lord.
I just thank God today for this broadcast, because I know each and every person that tune in to it, they will be blessed. Not should or can be. I know they will be blessed. Because, you know, for those who are saved, even death holds the promise of hope.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord, come on.
Oh, Jesus.
Amen.
Mm.
Come on now. We're not fearing death. Why? What happens when we die? We know what happens when we die. We know where we're going. We know where our soul will rest until it's time for us to come back. We know what happens. So there's no fear in death. There's no sting of this death. Did the Bible say, oh, death, where is your sting? Why is everybody running around? Oh, my God, you know, you got to live a long life and this and that. And this. Hey, listen to me. If Jesus required me to leave today, I'd be happy skipping and hopping and getting up out of here so I can enjoy him and my Father in heaven. I'm not telling you I don't like to live life on this earth, but what I am saying is you can't do that. Going to heaven and spending all day, every day with the Father?
Jesus.
Are you serious? And I'm
crazy.
Afraid to die down here? No, I'm not. Because, hey, my happiness is going to be 10 times fold when I get up there with him.
Yes. Yeah. Ooh, I mean, you know, just like you baby. And this is what I always tell people when I'm talking in ministry. You know, this is the dressing room for us to get it right.
Yeah.
So, see, we praise him now. Give our hallelujahs now. Pray now.
Yeah.
We ain't going to have no problem when we get to him because, see, we already did it down here. But if you down here not doing what you're supposed to do, how you going to think you're going to get up there and praise him all day long?
Mm-mm. Amen.
How are you going to be saying, our Father? Hallelujah.
May I suggest that you read, everybody, if you haven't, read Divine Revelation of Heaven by Mary Kay Baxter. If you haven't read it yet, read that, and that will give you a whole different outlook. We know heaven is a beautiful place and is a good place to be and everything, but the Lord allowed her to experience and come back and reveal some things that was in heaven. And I mean, I'm like, wow, I got a newfound respect for the saints that die. They talk about, No. You get there. You ain't, no, I traded to be here and go back into that. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And that will allow us to embrace when the saints go on. Yes, they're family members and loved ones and everything, but this would allow us to really greater embrace what the transition is. And now when the saints of God go on and transition from this life to eternal life in that manner, then I'm like with a sense of jealousy. Oh, man, see, then you got there before I got there. But, you know, and just to know how they're partying, how they're enjoying, Pastor Berries was saying, but that don't come. And that's a delusion that people think, hey, I did a good deed in life. I don't need to be no salvation because I did. I gave to this charity. I did this with, that's good, but it don't make, my father always would say, you're not saved by morals.
Mm-hmm.
Morals don't save you. Good deeds don't save you. We're not saved by works. And the word of God is, in fact, you're not saved by the works that you do. Although you can do some good works and still die and go to hell.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Ain't the good works, huh? Jesus, that is so true. That is so true.
Okay. The Holy Ghost just said something.
Okay.
That's why the rich young ruler has such a problem.
Come on.
All right.
Because I could give my way in. And Jesus said, no, you can't give your way in.
That's right.
Matter of fact, your money over here is no good.
Your money ain't no good over here.
Yeah, that's said,
right.
Give it away. Sell it. And oh, my God. Oh, my God. You mean?
You're trying to treat God like a whore. You know, you can buy a whore.
Uh-oh.
You can buy anything with
Uh-oh.
Money, right? You can buy some shoes, a car, clothes, a house. You can buy a woman that'll love you. You can buy a man. They don't really love you. They love the money that comes along with you. But still, you can buy all of those things. So what we try to do is throw him some cash, like we would throw somebody that we feel like is a whore. You know, get up here and do what I need you. You can't treat God like that. He's not a whore.
Mm-mm. That's right. Treating him like he a treat.
Come on.
And then he want to act like he a Santa Claus. Every time you ask for something, he's supposed to just rain it down.
Come on. He's your sugar daddy. He's not a sugar daddy.
He's
not the person you call when you just need something. And when you don't need him, you don't call him. You don't pay him no attention. You don't cry to him. You don't praise him. You don't worship him. But all let something happen to you, and the first person you call is God. That's the first person you call. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. What's going on? You ain't call him at none of the time but when something was not going right for you.
There you go.
I am not a whore. I am not a sugar daddy. I am
not a feel good.
I am not these things that are foolish and is sinfulish and is devilish. It's all wrong. It's wicked. I am not that person. I'm holy. You're not going to treat me any kind of way and then say, here I am. Accept me. Here I am. You know, take me now. I'm finished with everything now. Okay, here I am. That doesn't work that way.
Jesus.
You can't do him like that.
Yes, Lord.
We try to do God like we do people. You can't do him like that. He's not a person. He's a spirit. Yes, he has a personal relationship with us. Yes, he has a person identity. Yes, we know he is God. He is a spirit. But come on, you can't do him like you do people. And that's what we try to do. We try to use the same, you know, God said the wisdom of this world is not the same wisdom that he has. And we try to use everything we got down here. You know, well, if I can manipulate God and if I can, you know, I love you, God. And, you love me with your lip, not with your heart.
All right.
And we think we fooling him who can read minds, who knows the heart, who made you, who fashioned you, who knew you were going to lie on that day, in that hour, at that moment, and still allowed you to be born to tell that lie.
Mm.
He allowed it. And you're trying to get over on him like you get over on people. Not possible.
I just thank God for this topic this morning. I just thank God. Because people truly need to hear what God is saying. He's speaking in this hour like never before.
Yes, ma'am. And that's what he wants, Pastor Elliot. He wants us to be real with him. He wants us to stop playing these little games with him like he's somebody that don't know everything about everything. He wants us to get to the point where we can be who we really, truly are. Because, see, that's the sad thing. He already knows. While we walking around here, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I'm blessed and highly favored and all this other mess. He knows who you really are. He knows that you ain't telling the truth. He knows that you're lying. He knows that in your heart is nothing but filth and smut and dirt. While you're walking around thinking that you're fooling people, you cannot fool him. He already knows. But the sad problem is, the sad part of that equation is, we don't know. So we walk around thinking, I don't fool him. Yep, I'm getting in heaven, I'm going, I'm packing my bags, I'm taking all my stuff with me, and we're going to be wonderful up there. No, you're not getting in because you didn't fool him. You're not getting in. I'm sorry.
That's right.
You fart from me. You work with all iniquity. I do not know you. You're not getting in. You did all your scheming and conniving and manipulating and working out the plan, and you're not getting in. Access denied. Insufficient funds.
But,
you're not getting in.
Oh, you know, this morning, someone early this morning just happened to check my computer, sent me an email, And it, I try to remember most of it I can, but it was saying about who all was going to go to heaven and who wasn't going to heaven. So when one of the persons that just knew everybody wouldn't be in heaven, they were already in heaven. When this person got there, they had the audacity to ask God, well, how did so-and-so get here? He's a liar. How did so-and-so get here? He's a thief. How did so-and-so get here? And when it boiled down to it, this one person was surprised to see all these people that was liars, cheaters, whoremongers, and all that in heaven. And the paraphrase saying, the little thing say, well, they wondered, how did you get here?
Come on.
You know? You know, and when I read that, I said, hey.
Come on.
And we're talking about it today. You know, we can't point fingers or whatever, you know. You know, so-and-so, they ain't going to heaven. Are you sure your salvation, you going to be there? You better take that looking glass, that mirror, and look at yourself and clean yourself up and talk to God about self. Don't go to pointing fingers at this, that, and the other one. Look at yourself and see. Lord, am I worthy? All the work. I know all the work joy and peace do here. That ain't going to take me to heaven.
Come on.
I just went back in the back, and I got my nails and my hammer. The cross is already built. So we're going to crucify. I want to crucify this mythology that sounds good in the church. God knows my heart. Yes, God know your heart. That's why you're going to hell. That's why you're going to hell, because God knows your heart.
Insufficient funds.
That's it. Because he knows your heart. Your heart, you like in Pastor Barron just said, your mouth say this, but your heart is far
heart
from
is
it.
Far from
you know you ain't trying to serve. You know you don't have the intentions of living holy. You know you think you gonna lie to God. You think you gonna lie to God? Don't you know that God's holiness is so holy?
Yeah.
The presence of God is so holy that you will not even be able to lie, even though you might want to lie. But God is so holy and so righteous. There is no sin in him. So therefore, there can't be any sin committed in his presence.
That's right.
Come on.
All right.
That's the truth. Now think about this.
Yeah.
When you have all this time on the earth, just like all that time that Noah spent building that ark, right? They had all that time to get it together. They had all that time. But what do we think? We think we're going to get in by the skin of our hair. We're going to slide, you know, like the baseball people slide in and safe. We think we're going to slide on the treadmill and then Jesus going to say, safe. But he's going to say, access denied.
I got another nail, because just like you said, You think I'm gonna make you gonna make? And the Bible says that the righteous. Now watch this. The righteous is the person that do everything. Everything, dot every I, cross every T. That's the righteous. And the Bible says that the righteous will scarcely make.
Scarcely. That's what it says.
That's the guy who do everything right. Everything. I mean, no sign of sin, none whatsoever. And the Bible says that person is going to scarcely make it in. So how do you think you're going to go stiffing and dancing and trolleying just all into the gates of heaven? Like she said, access denied. I'm sorry. Please turn around and follow that person over there. Follow that demon over there. He's to take you where you're really going, because it's not in here. But God knows my heart. No, access denied. I'm sorry. Stamp this. Demon, would you please come get this young man? Would you come get this young lady? Because, but what are you talking about? Hey, you people are sitting there trying to argue. You can't argue.
Come on.
You can't argue. I didn't know.
Well,
God said you had a Bible. You had a Bible. Nobody told me.
Come on, what we try to do.
All right.
We try to fool him.
Yes,
I didn't know that.
Yes.
It ain't going to work. I never heard it before you get there. It ain't gonna work. We try to do what Jesus did.
We flip it around though. God said, even back in the Old Testament when we were doing animal sacrifices, what did they try to do? I'm gonna give God the one that is skinny. It looks like it's getting ready to die. Ain't no life left in it. You know, I'm not gonna give him the best one. I'm gonna give him that old raggedy, rinky dink one over there that I don't even want it. It's not even fit, you know, to really even be in my pasture or even be in my house. That's what I'm gonna give to God. That's what we're saying. When we go, oh yeah, I'm gonna be able to do A through Z, and I'm gonna do it wonderful, and I'm gonna live life to the fullest, and I'm gonna be happy, and this, that, I'm gonna do all this stuff, and then think we're gonna slide in on that baseball mound, and that, and Jesus gonna stay safe. You're trying to give him a lamb with blemish. He said the only thing that could be sacrificed to him was a lamb without spot and without blemish. And what we give him, some old filthy, mildew, disgusting looking body and heart and everything in it, and go, here you go, God, I'm finished with it. Now you can have it. What?
Jesus.
No way.
Mm-mm.
I say you wouldn't give that to the person that you so-called love. You know, that man that you love so much, that woman that you love so much that you'll sell your soul, you would give that to them.
That's right.
But you won't give me, oh, any old thing. Just come on, throw that's God's on right there. That's God.
God bless you, people of God. I must
God
run.
Yes,
God bless you. Thank you so
God
very
bless
much.
You. I thank each and every one of you all that came on the line today. We already went past our time, but I thank God for it and hope to talk with y'all later. Y'all be blessed and have a wonderful and a blessed day, everyone that shared in on the line today. Bye-bye.
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 God bless.